I've certainly learned a lot this month. I went from having no idea to what a life hack meant to actually trying some life hacks in my own home. And in case you weren't here and you missed the definition of a life hack, it is a process or technique that reduces chaos in one's life and makes it easy to manage or more convenient. I've gained an appreciation of people who actually go through their life and use life hacks in their own home. I have a friend named Alice Smith. She helped start the One in the Lord Sunday School class about 20 years ago. I would say she is the queen of life hacks. She has a beautiful apartment near downtown, just about 3 or 4 rooms, and absolutely everything in there, she either found it, recycled it, looked online to try to figure out a way to make it more simple. For example, in her kitchen, she got an old bookshelf and painted it to match her kitchen, and then she put all of the dishes in that old bookshelf. And to make sure that her dishes wouldn't get a lot of dust on them, she took a shower curtain and attached it to the top, an attractive one, and kind of pinned it back, and it really looked great. Everywhere you went in her apartment, there was something creative. I think the chaos in her life would have been having to buy gadgets or gizmos because she didn't want to spend the money when she could certainly make it herself. You know, it seems like most of us have a fascination with gadgets or devices that make our lives much more easy to live. I was looking on Facebook this past week, and I came across something called the Magic Headrest Hook by Mr. Gadget USA. This is something that you can purchase to organize your car. You can buy a hook for only $8.99, and you slip it over the metal part of your headrest, and it has a hook, and you're able to put your plastic bags on that hook. No longer will they have to pile up in your seat or roll all over the place, because this is neat, and it is organized. And let me tell you, it had a 5-star rating, and the headline said, "I need this." I think maybe I need one, or maybe two, to help my car stay neat. Or if you like the out-of-doors, like most of us do, there's a brand new solar flame torch that looks like a real flame. There are no batteries, no electricity, and it will light your patio or your driveway up and make it look beautiful. It's the perfect lamp for absolutely every occasion. It only costs $39.99 for one, and if you're smart, there are only 10 left in stock. So if you order today, it may cost around $400 with shipping and taxes, but it says it ships within 24 hours. It's going to arrive soon. Get ready, they're going to come quickly. I mostly order my gadgets and gizmos for my sometimes stressful life on Amazon.com. I love it. If I'm really in a hurry, I can do one click or I can simply add it to my cart. I can check out the ratings. I know how many stars are on there. And best of all, it's delivered right to my front door. Not only that, I can track it. I can go online and I know where it is just about every single moment. I even know when it's left and it's heading towards Houston, Texas. Well, you know, the other day I decided I needed to order something for our new puppy who's mortified of trucks. So I went online and with one click, I ordered a thunder jacket. A thunder jacket helps pets not be afraid of thunder or other things. So I strapped the new thunder jacket that arrived very quickly on my dog, and off we went for a walk. He was prancing around, and I was thinking, darn, this thing really works, until a truck drove by. And he drug me, with all 34 pounds of him, drug me back to our home. So Amazon really holds my attention by telling me everything is coming quickly. It's going to arrive soon. Be ready. Now, occasionally I do order a product I'm not too sure about, but most of the time I do try to order something that's tried and true, something that has been around for a long time and has a history. You may not know this, but there are 10 old brands that have managed to stay modern. People still purchase them today because of the great reputations they have had for years and years and years. Let me tell you about them. Jim Beam Whiskey has been around since 1795, and it's the oldest of all the American liquor brands. How many of you use Colgate toothpaste? Any takers in here? Oh my good, okay, there's one. Well, it's been around since 1873, and they were the first one to put toothpaste in a tube. Brooks Brothers has been around since 1818, and Tiffany and Company got its start in 1837 by Charles Lewis Tiffany, and it has become known as one of the strongest brands in the whole world. Mott's, like applesauce and fruit juice, they have been around since, they have been around for a long time, and they actually play up on the contemporary woman. If it's too sweet, then they have applesauce and fruit juice that has lower sugar. American Express has been with us since 1850, and there was a time when it was very prestigious for you to pull a gold American Express card out of your wallet. Jell-O, Jell-O. Jell-O has been around since 1845, and you know what? I don't buy any other brand but Jell-O. They have all kinds of products. And for all you men, John Deere Tractors was started in 1837 by a man named John Deere. You're exactly right. Now listen to this one. Levi Strauss, and I have a picture today, has been around since 1873. And they remain very successful because they adjust to the fashion. Those were found in an abandoned mine here in the United States, and they're over 100 years old. They don't look any different than anything we put on today. Some guy who found him sold him on eBay, and he got thousands of dollars for those over 100-year-old jeans. And finally, there's one more. You're all going to know what it is, Coca-Cola. It was invented in 1886. They used their original logo, and they have become a staple in almost every home in America and actually across the world. Of all the things I order, not like the 10 I just mentioned, few of them stand the test of time. And the appeal for me to go on my phone and look at Facebook and other things, the appeal for me to order more things to make my life simpler is strong. I have to be careful, or I don't have enough room in my house for all this stuff that I might order to help my life be more simple. I walked through last night. I took an inventory, and if I get one more thing, I'm going to have to do a major overhaul just to make sure that I can add that one thing. There was a time when I sent my parents gadgets and appliances because I wanted my parents to have a more simple life. They lived in West Virginia. Life could not be more simple. But I sent them an electric wok, a hot sandwich maker, a fancy portable hand mixer, and countless other gadgets for my dad to use so he wouldn't be so stressed. Now, there were no emails and texts, so I would call and say, "Your gift is on the way. Watch out. It's arriving soon." They would always call me and thank me for the wonderful gift. When they both passed away, my brother and I went in their storage unit in the basement, and there were black plastic bags with ties all up and down several shelves. And inside was the plastic wok, the portable mixer, everything I had ever sent them was up on that shelf. They looked like they'd hardly been used. My brother and I simply divided it up. You take the wok, I'll take the mixer. The lure of a simpler life and gifts arriving at their door did not faze them. Their lives were full and productive. Now hear this. They had arrived at a time when they knew all the gimmicky stuff is fleeting. The journey with things had an end, and they knew that Jesus was their destination. He knew that he is tried and true, his reputation universal, his word never goes out of style, and it has stood the test of time. I think maybe they were trying to teach me a lesson. I haven't done so well. Now, our scripture this morning that I read may seem like a very strange one to end our life hack series, but there's some lessons in there for us. What I read to you earlier is the epilogue, or the very end of the book of Revelation, and it closes the New Testament. As I read and studied and tried to figure out how I could link life hack and Revelation, I read a commentary by a man named Eric Barreto, and he asked a couple of questions that made me think. His first question was, "Do you really believe that Jesus is coming back soon?" We don't get any emails, we don't get any text, and there is absolutely no way we can track him. Many will say, "Well, look at the condition of our world right now, and it's just obvious that he is coming back soon." Some have even said, "Well, I know the date," and they run and hide in a cave somewhere, and they wait for his return. But he has not come back. Here's what I'm going to ask you to think about. Are we as excited about Jesus' return as we are the packages that arrive on our doorsteps? Are we as excited? And secondly, do we live as if Jesus' return is imminent? We've waited over 2,000 years, and he hasn't come back. And sometimes we can lose hope, and we can even pull away from our faith. Are we getting carried away with things that absolutely don't matter, and we're taking our minds off Jesus? and his return to us? Well, to answer one of the questions, Jesus and other biblical writers mince no words about his coming back. I looked it up. I found over 100 references in the Bible about him coming back soon or his second coming. But what does soon mean? The word coming soon was referenced 5 times in the scripture I read you. The Greek word tashi can be translated soon or quickly. If we take it to mean soon, then it has not happened yet if we apply our time schedule. 2,000 years is a long time, but Psalm 90, verse 4 says, 1,000 years in God's sight are just like yesterday past, like a watch in the night. If we look at it from God's perspective, 2,000 years may just be a blink of an eye. And if we take it to mean he's coming quickly, then that goes along with Matthew 25 when he says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour or the day in which the Son of Man is coming back." In other words, we need to be ready for an event of eternal significance that can come suddenly and without warning. We can really get excited about this if we think it, because everything we see on television or we hear on the radio or we see with our own eyes, it will go away. It will be no more. All of those sorcerers and things he mentioned will be outside the gate, and we will be in. And not only that, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is going to reward all of our work, and he is going to take us to be with him. Now, that can be exciting. Now, how do we get ready for this event? The scripture gives us some clues. Blessed are those who wash their robes, and blessed are those who have obey the commandments. That's an alternate reading. So he is saying, to get ready and to live our life, we remain holy and we obey God's commandments, to love one another, the Ten Commandments. All of these are about the will of God, which takes me back to the first part of my sermon. We must not get caught up in filling our lives with meaningless things. Yes, it is fun to order all these gadgets and gimmicks to make our life easier. But all the quick fixes don't fix us. Only Jesus can. Today we're going to come to the altar for Holy Communion. And I believe it's the time for us to be able to sort some of this out. We're getting ready to go into Ash Wednesday. What do we need to leave behind to study God's Word more and to use our gifts and to be watching and waiting, as the old hymn says? Today in the Solemn Act, we're going to remember the one who suffered and died for us and will come to claim us for himself. That, my friends, is good news. Jesus is tried and true. He has been around for thousands and thousands of years in the New Testament, and Genesis talks about him all the way to Revelation. Jesus, we can count on him. And I end by what the saint said years and years and years ago. Come, Lord Jesus, we are ready. Come soon. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so ready for you to come and take us with you. Help us to be bold. Help us not to be afraid. Help us to keep studying your word and to focus on things that are important, things that are not meaning, that are not meaningless. So, Father, we ask you today to touch our hearts in a powerful way and help us to sort out how we're living our life. It's in your precious and powerful name we pray. Amen.